Imagine living every moment in intimate companionship with the Creator of the universe, not as a distant theological concept, but as the central narrative of your existence. This is the revolutionary invitation at the heart of A Year with God, to enter what Richard Foster calls the with God life. From Scripture's first pages to its final verses, one consistent theme emerges. Human life is meant to be lived in divine companionship. The name Emmanuel, God with us, pulses throughout the biblical narrative, revealing our primary purpose isn't achieving success or finding happiness, but entering the process of transformation into Christlikeness through spiritual disciplines that have shaped faithful people throughout history. Prayer offers a direct line to the Creator, interactive conversation with God about what we're thinking and doing together. Though many feel guilt about prayer, we will never have pure enough motives or be good enough or know enough to pray rightly. We simply must set all these things aside and begin praying. Simple prayer means bringing our whole selves to God, frustrations, joys, complaints, and celebrations, as biblical figures did. Daniel's faithfulness in praying three times daily despite death threats distinguished him. Paul emphasizes praying at all times, with all prayer, in all perseverance, for all the saints. The Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words, carrying our prayers beyond earthly limitations. Christian meditation complements prayer by focusing more on listening than talking. It's not about emptying ourselves, but filling ourselves with God and deepening our attachment to Christ. For effective scripture meditation, choose a short passage and enter it as an active participant. Rather than merely studying the text, be initiated into the reality of which the passage speaks. Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart, creating space where God's whispers can be heard above life's noise. Study is the intentional process of engaging our minds with God's Word in ways that transform us from within. Jesus himself studied Torah extensively, demonstrating its centrality to spiritual formation. Though we value Scripture, most Christians don't study it deeply enough, particularly longer passages. Try selecting one extended passage, perhaps Psalm 119, several gospel chapters, or an entire letter, to read daily for 10 days. Begin with repetition, reading aloud or writing it out, move to concentration, memorizing portions, then interpretation, using commentaries, and finally, reflection. Remember the 1 Corinthians 13 test. All study should ultimately increase our capacity for love. When Ezekiel literally ate the scroll containing lamentation and mourning and woe, he internalized God's word until it became part of his being. This bitter news tasted sweet, echoing the psalmist's description of the law's sweetness. This metaphor reveals the purpose of spiritual disciplines. Through prayer, study, worship, and service, we digest God's word into our core, where it transforms us from within. Unacknowledged sin often prevents us from fully experiencing God's presence. Confession, sharing our deepest weaknesses with God and trusted others, brings divine forgiveness and healing. When Jesus died on the cross, he absorbed all sins, freeing us through honest confession. 1 John warns that denying sin means we deceive ourselves, while confession brings cleansing. Effective confession involves examining our conscience, expressing genuine sorrow, and committing to avoid future sin. Whether hidden from others through shame or from ourselves through denial, unconfessed sin damages our souls. Psalm 32 describes the happiness of those whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is covered. The psalmist contrasts the physical and emotional burden of hidden sin, wasting away, groaning, feeling God's heavy hand, with the relief of acknowledgement. I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Regular confession overcomes self-deception and leads to the joy of forgiveness. Worship expresses God's greatness, beauty, and goodness through words, music, rituals, and silent adoration. True worship flows from a heart it sees God as worthy, not merely from forms or rituals. Jesus teaches that authentic worship happens in spirit and truth, extending beyond church services into daily life. When Jesus walked on water toward his terrified disciples, only Peter stepped out in faith, walking toward Jesus until fear overwhelmed him. Though Jesus called him, "You of little faith," the encounter ended with all disciples worshiping Jesus as truly the Son of God, showing how worship emerges from encounters with divine power that overcome fear. Isaiah warns against honoring God with lips while hearts remain distant. We've all experienced this disconnect, sitting in church mentally elsewhere or reciting familiar prayers without engagement. True worship requires preparation, arriving early, opening our hearts, praying for others, focusing on God's presence, and singing directly to Him. This intentional approach transforms worship from routine to genuine encounter. Service isn't an occasional activity, but a fundamental way of being. Jesus demonstrated this when washing his disciples' feet and teaching that whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. He ultimately exemplified this on the cross, showing true greatness comes through service. Paul teaches that every task can be viewed as service to the Lord, reminding us we ultimately serve God in all we do. The tabernacle's construction reveals that authentic service flows from willing hearts. Everyone whose heart was stirred contributed their unique gifts. As Dallas Willard notes, to live as a servant while fulfilling socially important roles is one of the greatest challenges any disciple ever faces. Service frees us from appearance consciousness, allowing us to serve others in humble love. When Jesus took the towel and basin, he redefined greatness, showing that true leadership means becoming the least. In our social media age where visibility equals value, practicing secrecy seems counterintuitive. Yet Jesus taught us to fast, pray, and give in secret, ensuring our motivation is pure and focused on God's approval rather than human praise. This discipline cultivates humility while connecting us with our hidden God. Jesus warns against practicing piety for show. Giving should be done so secretly that your left hand doesn't know what your right hand is doing. Prayer belongs behind closed doors with your Father who is in secret, and fasting should appear normal rather than displaying discomfort. These teachings reorient spiritual practice from public performance toward intimate communion with God. The psalmist's request for God to teach me wisdom in my secret heart points to this inner sanctuary as the foundation for authentic spiritual formation, away from public display and human approval. As Meister Eckhart noted, spiritual maturity means becoming free of our works as we perform them, letting God's light shine through us naturally. The with God life isn't about perfection but presence, recognizing divine companionship in every circumstance. Through these disciplines, we don't earn God's favor, but position ourselves to receive grace that transforms us from within.